This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The talent that's here and the talent that is continuing to develop here. We obviously have some mainstay guys like Ian Happ.
Ian Happ, Cubs all-star outfielder.
Happ drives one in the air to right field. Back goes Carroll. That ball is gone. Ian Happ with a grand slam, and the Cubs lead 6-1.
Gold Glove Award winner.
Line toward left center, toward the gap on the run. Happ makes a sliding catch. Excellent play by Ian Happ.
Host of the Compound Podcast. Connect Roasters coffee enthusiast.
We toast you, Ian Happ.
Ian Happ on 670 The Score.
He joins us via the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. He is the Cubs left fielder. He is a Gold Glover. He's always kind enough to join us every week like he does. It is Ian Happ. He's also the host of the Compound Podcast. That is available where you get your podcasts. It is part of the Odyssey family of podcasts as well. And we are happy to let you know. Ian Happ joining us from the Berg, Pittsburgh. Ian, how are you?
How are you doing?
Good. I think we've got to start with what Marshall and I lovingly refer to as Hell Week, except Hell Week was 2 weeks in 2 days, where you took down no team that was under 500 and were able to get out of it. Drop the series for the first time at home this year to the Phillies. But when you take a look back at April minus 2 days left, what do you think about how your team fared?
I mean, I think we played a lot of really good baseball. Obviously we had a tough schedule with a lot of really good teams. But just the brand of baseball, I think the ability to score runs in a bunch of different ways. Starting staff did a great job, and we just found a bunch of different ways to win games. Obviously there were some really exciting ones in there. But I can't say enough about just the total group effort.
Coming off a tough series against the Phillies, what do you take away from that experience specifically? I mean, you guys have been rolling so well, and it's not like the Phillies came into Wrigley and beat you upside the head or anything. You guys were in it, some very tight ball games, especially that Sunday night game.
Yeah, I think we played a nice complete game on Friday, finding a way to score in tough conditions. Obviously, the one on Saturday got away from us a hair, but then that Sunday game, that's a really good game. Another kind of, both guys on the mound did a great job. JMO was fantastic. Nola was himself. He did a really good job throwing great pitches and keeping us off balance, and then just couldn't find a way to push one across there. But that's what happens when you play a good team. You're going to have some games like that and where you're in it until the end and don't quite get it done. That's what happens over 162, but I thought as a whole, we did a really good job.
Yeah, that's how I feel about learning the phrase early. I feel like in my baseball life, like, veterans have shorter slumps, right? And I feel like the same can be said for offensive output, especially with this team right now. Like, your days where you have only three hits as a team or four hits as a team, it's not going to be a stretch like maybe it was in years past. How do you look at it?
Yeah, I think there's, you get a really good starting pitcher on the mound who does a great job. We hit a lot of balls hard too. Like, there's going to be days like that. Like, we hit some at Bushy and Pete, and a couple guys hit some rockets to right field that were outs, and, changes the dynamic of the game if you can get one of those to fall. And so I think that's going to happen. And I think this team's kind of shown, if we do have a a day where maybe the offense isn't clicking, you know, come back the next day and put up some runs. And we've done a really good job of having those big numbers, but also having the games where we score 4, 5, 6 and give ourselves a chance a lot.
Well, I feel like there are times where we've talked to you at certain points in other seasons in the past where you've hit into hard luck and you know it. You've got the numbers to prove it, for example. You know how fast the ball is flying off of the bat. And I feel like that's been part of what Dansby Swanson has had to deal with for the first part of the season. You know, knowing that you've gone through it as a hitter at times, other people have as well. You know, what do you make of just trying to get out of something like it, knowing that you're doing the best you can, but just sometimes hitting them where they are instead of hitting them where they're not?
Yeah, I think it's one of the nice things about the advanced metrics that we have is that you can see when, you know, the actual is far below the expected. And that you are, you know, you're making better contact than kind of the results are giving you, and having the confidence in that and understanding that, like, it's at some point it's going to turn. It's really easy for that to be magnified early in the season as well, just with not as many at bats. And I think instead of searching for something and trying to find what's going to turn everything around, it's having the confidence that over the course of the season, the back of the baseball card is going to show up. Things are going to fall in line. You're just waiting for that little hot stretch to get you back. And so having that confidence and just continuing to go out there every day with that and not losing what makes you a great player.
Ian, you are in Pittsburgh. I know you know the area very, very well. What's it like to go back to the Steel City?
Yeah, it's always great to go back. I have so many fond memories being at PNC as a kid and with friends and getting to watch big league baseball. And it's awesome for me. I get family in town and get to see people. And it's a special one for me. And we're going to get some great weather for a couple of days, which is awesome.
I think out of the ballparks that are aesthetic, you know, the NL West has some beautiful ones for sure. You know, AT&T Park, Petco come to mind. But PNC is pretty awesome. That rotunda is really cool. People can just stand and watch the game. You're against the river. I'm sure people have tried to hit at least to the river in batting practice. Where does it rank for you when it comes to ballparks you visit?
It's one of my favorite. I think being able to go out there and take batting practice, you got the city and the skyline in the background. And to me, it's one of the most beautiful parks in the league. I'm pretty biased, that's for sure. But I love it. And, you know, I think weekday game probably won't have crazy crowds, but it's going to be special. I think this is one of those trips. We used to get 3 of them a year, and now we only get 2. So I try to really cherish when we come back to Pittsburgh for the 2 series a year.
I know you're biased, but I also think that you can make the argument for Great American being beautiful to you as well. You know, it's a place where 100%. You've done well. So I'm just pointing that out there. The bias can go many directions.
I love the
direction.
NL Central. Yeah, some of my favorite ballparks.
All right, Ian, I got to ask you about this because Bruce Levine was in the clubhouse asking your teammate, Kyle Tucker, about it. So I got to get your side of this. Your home run, like, little tip of the cap. How would you explain what you do when you come across home plate? Your little tip of the batting helmet, or what is it? And how did Kyle Tucker start mimicking you doing this?
It's something I've done for a while now. Tuck hit a homer. I think he asked me about it after I hit one. And now every time I'm on base and he hits a homer, he does it. When I'm at home plate to greet him, and I appreciate it. You know, I appreciate that he's using my thing. He loves it. Just a good teammate right there.
Is there an origin story behind why you do it?
No, not a big origin story I'm going to get into, but yeah, it's something that it means something to me. You know, kind of started doing it in college, and you know, it's my thing. I haven't talked about it much, and yeah, I like the Tucks picking it up.
Well, that's really cool. And then to, you know, to pay homage like that, I think it is nice if it means something to you. That's you're allowed to have, like, special things that mean something that maybe not everybody knows.
Yeah, that's he asked me about it one time. And then as soon as he hit a homer when I was on base, he kind of gave me a little smirk and then did it right there. He was crossing home plate. I liked it.
Caught you off guard a little bit, or no? You were expecting something.
It did catch me off guard. Definitely caught me off guard, but he's got it down. He might have studied some film.
I've asked you about the dab before, Now I feel like the kids are starting to raise the roof again. And as somebody who originally rose the roof, I don't know how I feel about this as an old. What are your thoughts on the PCA raise the roof that is overtaking your teammates?
Yeah, I like it. I think every year you find something, and it happens organically. And that was one. I think Bruhan did it first, and I had no idea what was going on. Been asking guys like, where does this come from? I said, I don't know. Bruhan got on base and did it, so now we're doing it. Okay, that's our thing. I like it.
So you don't know the actual origins of raise the roof itself, the actual thing, like before you were doing it in baseball,
Well, no, I do. I know the origins before.
Okay, I was making sure because I
don't know that that's where Bruhan got it. I don't think that that's.
Oh, got you.
I don't think that that's where it came from with Bruhan, but it is. I think it's a good one. We took Morel started the one last year, and so yeah, it just they come from all different places, and this is a good one.
Well, it's just fun too, and obviously PCA is so animated. You know, that's the person who I originally saw with it, and Nico with the dab was, I feel like, a whole concept overtaking the nation. Yeah, I know you have thoughts about Nico and the dab.
Oh yeah, that was great. He was really good at. I never did that, but he was really good at hitting it in different times. Like,
wait, yeah, you never dabbed?
No.
Not in your wheelhouse. That's just not.
No.
Okay.
No, you're right about Nico. Like, he would do it pretty ironically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. After he would smoke a ball, he would do it. He would have kind of a. It would be late. It would be early. It was at all different times. He's good at timing it up. And yeah, the raise the roof one's been pretty good. I mean, Nico hit that double on Sunday that kind of fell in the Bermuda Triangle out there in right field. And he did the raise the roof, but it was kind of like, it was a soft one because that ball just kind of like snuck in there. He's very good at timing it up.
He couldn't sell it because the ball was not as definitive. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I think the great part about all of this was that you guys are able to do this because you're having fun. You're getting on base offensively. We've talked about it a lot, but it's a wonderful place to be in when you're allowed to like talk about these jokes as freely as y'all are.
Yeah, it's a really fun group. I think the guys really like each other and get along. And also, I think it's, you know, like you talked about, being able to move on from the previous game or previous day if it doesn't go your way. I think this group, not only the fact that guys have been around and seen a lot of baseball, but the fact that we have a lot of confidence in our group and what our abilities makes it easy a day like Sunday or a series where you have a chance to win the series, you don't quite get it, to be okay with that, to move on and understand it's a long season and know that, you know, the next game we're going to get a chance to put up a bunch of runs. And so, you know, having that type of group makes it really easy to keep chugging along through 162.
It always helps when you're winning games. PCA said that you told him Wrigley is the most fun place to be when the Cubs are playing good baseball. Certainly that has been the case this season. I'm asking because I'm curious about this recruiting effort. Because I feel like the Cubs fans, because you guys are winning, are showing up in droves even when weather conditions are not ideal. How much of a factor do you think that can be in the early recruitment, is what we'll call it, of one Kyle Tucker, a guy that I know you guys are getting familiar with and growing closer to as the games go on?
Yeah, I think Wrigley sells itself. I think the Cubs fans and the Cubs organization sells itself. You know, that it's such a special place to play baseball. You've seen it early already. The energy in the stadium is fantastic. And you're getting 35,000-40,000 people coming out when it's freezing cold. There's no better place to be in the summer. And the city, when the Cubs are good, when we're in first place and playing really good baseball, it's just the energy around the ballpark and around the city is just, it's unmatched. And so, I think it's going to be a really fun summer at Wrigley, and it'll do a really good job of selling itself. It always does.
Cubs with a three-game set with the Pirates that you can hear tonight on the Score as we talk to Ian Happ. And Ian, what's the latest on Connect Roasters? Cold Brew, I know, is up and running. What else is going on?
Yeah, we did a little meet and greet at Hotel Zachary this weekend for the Home Run Club members and got to meet a bunch of people. And it was great to see everybody. And yeah, the cold brew's out. We got it at Wrigley. Boys are drinking it, and Canned Cold Brew will be online at connectroasters.com. We also, the Compound's got our live show coming up May 31st at Music Box Theater, 7 p.m. PCA is going to join us and come on. And yeah, grab your tickets. It's going to be a really fun event. So May 31st, 7 p.m., Music Box Theater.
May 31st is a Saturday, and it is also Dansby Swanson Flow Headband Giveaway.
Ooh, maybe we'll have a couple of those to give out for the people in attendance. Maybe we can have a couple headbands on stage.
Now I'm really curious if the hair is attached to the headband, because he does have the best hair.
Yeah, I'm very jealous of that flow.
It's big league flow for sure. Thank you so much for joining us, Ian Happ. Have a great series in Pittsburgh, and we look forward to our visit with you every week.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Ian.
Ian Happ, of course, of the Compound Podcast, as he mentioned, some of you need to take your Dansby Swanson headbands to that podcast live on the 31st next month. That ought to be a good time. In the meantime, Cubs taking on the Pirates. They begin a three-game set after a night off tonight. It is a 5:40 start. You can hear coverage, of course, right here on The Score. Coming up next, it is halftime, and I have a lot of questions for one Mars Hall Harris.
Oh, you got questions for me?
I do.
Well, I've got a sigh of relief. It's better news than reacting to the Bears draft. Marvel, I think they're back. I think we're good. I think we're in a good place with Marvel. I went and saw a movie last night, and it made me think, I think we're going to be okay.
This is very exciting, the development. So I want to focus on that. If we have time, we'll get to other stuff. But halftime next on The Midday Show. Rahimi and Harris with you every day on The Score.